The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 to 24. But thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honourable not only in God's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our, pardon me, and of our boasting about you to these men. Amen.
That thing might be useful. Last week got one of my favourite topics, giving. And I sum it up by saying, giving. We need a generous spirit. We want God to put that in us. Giving is a choice of the giver. And we need God's wisdom as to what to give and where to give it. That was last week. This week, the passage, we come to a word called accountability. Guys, Paul's saying, I'm sending Titus with the gift and I'm sending these people with him so that you know that it's going to be looked after properly. So I read that, I went, accountability. And then I thought, oh, I hate accountability. And you think, what? And I thought, no, I don't hate accountability. It's like saying I hate coffee if you said, someone comes along and goes, a half-strength decaf skinny soy latte with hazelnut syrup. Someone hands me that, I go, I hate coffee. No, I don't hate coffee. I hate a half-strength decaf skinny soy latte with hazelnut syrup. Do you want that one? Do you still like coffee? So the point I'm making here is, sometimes people have done with accountability, they've killed it. Like someone's killed a cup of coffee. When accountability is done in such a way that it becomes an almost unbearable bureaucratic burden that prevents large amounts of good being done. When accountability wastes time, money and energy rather than prevents sin and mistakes being made, then it's wearing. We see that so much in our world today. And we can have lots of examples, but I'll just try and narrow it down to one. I asked Esther to find me this picture. That's a cup. It's plastic. It's got a special bottom in it so it tips easily. What would you pay for a cup like that? What do you reckon? Give me a number. Okay? $3. What do you got over there? $20? You want to pay $157 each? There's the accountability, because you've got to make sure it's sourced properly and make sure it's made of the proper plastic and it's done in a tender situation and all that sort of stuff. $157 per cup. That is insane. That's when, yes, we do need accountability. But when accountability and putting so many things in place means we end up with a plastic cup that costs $157. We're like, ah! If I sat down with each of you, I'm pretty sure that all of you could come up with some story of where you've dealt with a government department, or usually it's a government department, and the hoops you've had to jump through and the accountability meant that something has become so darned expensive that many things don't happen. That is not what Paul wanted when he said to Titus, hey, I'm sending a couple of guys with you because you're carrying money. I'm not going to attempt to fix Queensland health. I'm not going to attempt to fix the education department. I got out of education. This sermon is not about fixing all of those things. This sermon is going, well, if accountability is a good thing, how do we do it? What's it mean for how we live our lives to be God's part of that and look to show an example of where that can be better than something like that? First question, well, why do we need accountability? Shouldn't we all just do what is right? Well, the trouble is we ain't all Jesus. Jesus doesn't need accountability because he actually is perfect. But the rest of us aren't. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need some preventative structures around that. And as I thought about this stuff of accountability, I thought, we need accountability for three types. Type 1-1, excellent people who really don't need a lot of it. Who came to mind? Diane. You didn't all see this. She's had her head down there doing something. And I said, Diane, boing! It was like a jack in the box. It never occurs to me that Diane is going to rip off the church and go on a holiday with the church money. We don't need a huge amount of structures of accountability on Diane to make sure she's not ripping us off. Because we know her character and we know her skills. But Diane, are you willing to admit that it's possible that every now and again you could make a mistake? So we want to have accountability in place just in case she makes the odd mistake. The other thing is, even excellent people who are really trying to do the right thing can sometimes be put in a situation where things have changed and it really is a lot of extra pressure or temptation on them to do something wrong. When there's accountability in place, it helps them fight that. The third reason I touch on it is, has anyone ever heard of churches being accused of wasting money and doing it wrong and running off with it? We want to protect Diane from any sort of attacks like that. If someone says the Baptist church is just wasting their money and doing it terribly, you go, don't be stupid. I know who our treasurer is. I know that she's not making the decisions anyway. She's taking it to the leadership and there's structures in place to make it thing. We need some accountability for those people who really, in one sense, don't need it, but it's helpful to them. The second group of people are the ordinary people. Every day. They're not trying to do the wrong thing, but not got that extra Christ-like character. That if the opportunity arises and it's easier to do the wrong thing, oh, well, you do it. Okay? But if there's accountability structures in place, and it's harder to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing, that helps them fight temptation. It helps them know what's right. It helps you make decisions. Accountability is needed in those places. Then the third type, the really dodgy ones who are trying to do the wrong thing. Accountability will help prevent some of those things. Accountability will catch some of those things. But you cannot put enough accountability in place to solve every possible person who's trying to do the wrong thing. You need another structure there. One of the struggles I believe we have in our world today is that there is sin, obviously. And bureaucrats are trying to fix a sin problem with a bureaucratic answer, and you will never do it. So that keeps adding and adding to the bureaucracy that you end up with places where there's so much that it's doing to stop this wrong thing, it stops a whole lot of other good things. That's unhealthy accountability. We can't fix that. But what's healthy accountability for us? We don't want anyone to find fault with the way we handle your generous gift. But we want to do what pleases the Lord and what people think is right. Paul's going, we've got to do what's right. We've got to do what's right. What people, God says is right and what people think is right. When they disagree, go with God. To prevent ongoing sin. For the good person to clearly know what's right and help them achieve it. And to catch the mistakes. Titus wasn't trying to do the wrong thing. Second thing is to help fight temptation. All of us get tempted at various things in various times. Going regularly to the bakery at Gomeri by myself may not be good because those cheesecakes are tempting. I can think, if I don't put myself in temptation, if we put things in place to help us with the things we know we're tempted with, if it's a higher likelihood of being caught for doing the wrong thing, it helps you go, no, I don't want to do that. And to protect from accusation. He says in there, we do not want anyone to find fault with the way we handle this. We don't want people to look at it and go, you did the wrong thing. No, we didn't. Here, we can show you how we did it right. So thoughts on healthy accountability. First thing, God gave direction and will judge. So knowing that deep in your heart, in the forefront of your mind, whatever choices you make, whatever you do, God knows what's right. He told you what's right, and he will judge. You're not going to get away with it. That helps us do those things. Reminds us of that. So when we're thinking about do we do right or not, remember, God's going to know. You're going to be able to say before God, yeah, why I did it. Feed and grow your good character. Do the things that help you stay in a healthy place, that help you stay away from temptation, that encourage the good in you. When you're doing those, it helps you be in an accountable place. Have trusted others in decision making and practice. In this case, Paul sent, hey, Titus is carrying this stuff and I'm taking some other guys with him. In our church, we're having a AGM today, and we're electing some deacons. We have deacons because on odd occasions I've had to make a decision without time to ring them up. But whenever there's possible, and most of the time, when there's a decision to be made in church, I take it to the next meeting or ring up and go, hey, this has come up. What do you think? You put people to help you make a decision, people who are prayerful. And then when you're doing things, when we count the offering, Diane never counts it by herself. Two people count it, and then they write in the book what it is. That's not difficult. That's not extra hard, but it's accountability. Accountability that fits the situation. Now, if we needed to get money from Corinth to Jerusalem, what would we do? We'd go into the bank in Corinth and plant it there and then say we want to transfer it to that account in Jerusalem, and they do it electronically. It's easy to carry. Guess what? Paul did not have that option. He had chunks of gold that he had to be carried there. So he needed some people to be with him and with Titus to know that they weren't ripping it off, and also to chase others away. The structure of accountability needs to fit the situation. I've got a great story that my father tells. Up in Kalkaringi, in the Aboriginal church there, where many of the church leaders couldn't read and write. They were that era. This is what they would do with the offering. At the end of the service, the elders or the deacons would gather around. They would take the money out, tip it in a thing. I think they would count it and write down how much came. And then one would go, I'm the bus driver. The bus needs filling up. Excellent. So they'd give him $50 and say, go fill up the bus. Someone else would go, we need to pay the power bill for the church. All right, here's $20. Go pay the power bill. Ah, this old lady, she's sick and she can't do that. She needs some food. All right, you, here's $30. Go to the shop, buy the food and take it to her. When all the money was divided up like that, good, let's go. Then they didn't write it all down where it all went. My dad said, I'll love it to them. He said, but don't ever do that by yourself. Don't ever do that where there's only one leader there. So he goes and goes, oh, I got all the money. I'll go and do all these jobs. No, no, no. Together they made the decision as to where that money went. And they knew that if the bus wasn't full next week or didn't have the fuel in it, it was Stephen to blame. And Stephen knew that it was his job to put that money into the fuel, into the bus. Diane, we can't do that here. We're not going to do it that way, are we? Does that freak you out? Guess what? You're not a traditional Aboriginal. And you're in a society with different structures. That structure suited them. Doesn't suit us. But they put something in place that fitted that situation. Acknowledge the need. Honest mistakes, temptation, protection. We do need accountability. So don't rail against any time anyone wants to put some accountability on you. In fact, it's a good idea to make sure you know what they are and find some accountability structures to help protect yourself. But don't overdo it. Don't make those accountability structures so difficult that you want to dodge them, that the person you're trying to make accountable drives them nuts so they don't want to do it. So for us personally, I thought there's a couple of things we can go away with. Make sure you've got people in your life that help you with your accountability, that you can go to help you make good decisions, that you can tell when you're struggling with something, that when you're doing something that needs accountability, they're with you for it. Have those godly, trusted people. Know who they are for different situations. Know what areas your temptations are, and put the accountability in those situations for that one. And thirdly, when you're the one have to put accountability in place for something, if you're a leader in a volunteer organization, you're the boss of something and you've got to put accountability in. Yeah. Do it, but seek God's wisdom as to the appropriate rules and structures so you're not weighing people down like happens so much in our society. Can I encourage us to do that, to look to those things, to do what is right with reasonable structures to help you keep that? Now, there is a difference when people are genuinely, as I said earlier, those people who are trying to do the wrong thing. Accountability helps identify them and prevent some of it, but it can't fix it. Don't expect it to. Look for the character that is there and be the character that needs minimal accountability where it's a help, not something else. So as we finish this morning, all of us at some time, somewhere, have fallen into temptation and got it wrong. And we need God's grace, where the accountability sometimes identifies it. And we need God's wisdom as to what things to put in place to prevent it. Lord God, you said in your word you want to put some things in place for accountability. Lord, help us to be people that don't need much accountability, where the structures are there to help us, not to hinder us. Help us to find those healthy levels of accountability in our own life to enable us to live a life that is right before you. And Lord, when that accountability does find us falling short, thank you that you do offer forgiveness and grace and mercy. Help us to come to you for that help and sort it out rather than just keep running. But Lord, there's times when we have to put accountability structures in place. Give us wisdom as to how to put in place ones that are helpful, not a hindrance. And Lord, in the other places, in our workplaces or other things where we deal with the other, this sermon hasn't really talked too much about what to do there. But Lord, give us your wisdom and grace in those situations too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.